Hey, dude, this dog, like, stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie, how you doing today?
Oh, I am so excited because my shorts came out of the drawer. So I am in full spring mode, and boy, I'm telling my clients to wear their sunglasses because my legs are white right now. I have done no tanning at all. So welcome to the Groom Pod episode 372, recorded on April 30th, 2023 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, Groom More, Stazco, and Clipper Fix. And if you'd like to tip us, you can go to the website, thegroompod.com, and use our donation button for a one-time donation or join us on Patreon. This week, it's all about Facebook questions. Woohoo! And what's new is brought to you by Groom More Software. If you haven't found Groom More, you're missing out. Groom More is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groom More has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop mobile or house call, Groom More has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code. I have a sad update on Buddy the Bichon. Buddy the PTSD Bichon, who's so anxious after his human went away in the ambulance and didn't come back. They took out, you might remember last year, part of his lung because it had a huge mass in it. Well, he's grown several other masses and they're inoperable. So we're on borrowed time with Buddy. And I'm so afraid, especially after the cat went to the vet and died last time. Now I'm afraid Buddy's going to die on me on my table because he's so hyper-stressed. So I'm having to readjust the grooming to make it quicker. And we're just going to enjoy him. I'm so sad, though. He's 13, which is okay. I mean, that's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. They've done so much to try and keep him going, and I'm going to miss him when he's gone. And he has the longest tongue of any dog I've ever known. He has a Gene Simmons-length tongue, and that bad boy is out and in the way constantly while I'm doing the head. It's crazy.
I know. Some dogs use their tongue as kind of a weapon of distraction. You know, they just, like, slap you in the face with it and stuff, and it makes you stop. I bet that.
Yeah, I did Figgy yesterday. That's the dog that I own one quarter of, little Figgy. Yeah. She uses her head to block any chance I have of seeing her front feet when I'm doing her nails. It is totally conscious. She just puts her head right in the middle of my line of view, and it makes it so difficult because she has these tiny legs and I don't want to snap one off or rip a ligament or something like that, especially as she ages because she's 10 now. And I noticed it yesterday. She is really good at blocking my sight line. Somehow she even does it on the back.
That's one of the reasons I kind of bend the ankle and do it from behind. Sometimes it's a little bit harder for them to block me that way.
It's true. She doesn't have wrist flexibility and it makes it uncomfortable. So I'm always trying to find workarounds. I hang her most of the time. I just hang her. But even when she's in the hammock, she gets her head and her whole ears in the way and everything. It's crazy. But, you know, she's Figgy and I love her and that's that. So I will deal with her little idiosyncrasies. So I also want to mention that I've made it a week using my new rubber bands that go around my shampoo containers that say what's in them, and I really love them. I appreciate them. They make it so much easier for me to tell what's in my bottles. And if you guys are interested, they come in 5 colors. They're laser engraved. You just let them know what shampoo bottles you want on the, or what names you want, or really anything you want. And they slip right over the bottles. He's got 2 sizes, large and small, 5 colors. They are at clipperfix.com, clipperfix.com. And Wesley will custom make those, $3 a piece. And yeah, that's that. Bills paid. I just had a delightful week of grooming. The sun has been out. It's been 70 degrees. We went from 49 to 70 degrees. It's a shocker. But I'm in the zone of dogs dry quicker now, and life is good. And I'm just having a fun time doing what I do, going from place to place in the sunshine, telling horse stories to my clients, making them laugh, and making their pets clean. So I don't really have anything overly exciting to update you on for this week. What about you?
The good news is I was able to act proactively and got our cooler up and running before we had any suffering or complaints about it. So that was good. And, you know, I've got a cooler guy now, and he's so great. He comes quickly. He slips me. I mean, I've got the easiest cooler for him, the most simple piece of shit. What it is, we agreed on that. I pay him cash, so he gives me just a substantial discount.
Well, we like that.
And he said he was going to come on. He was going to come on Friday, like after my closing time, at the end of his day, between 4 and 7. And he showed up like 11 o'clock or something like that in the morning, and it was a little bit distracting and stressful because I was in the middle of stuff, but it's done.
Yay.
And, you know, working, and I have cool air in there, and so that's good. And then the other thing that happened is I have an update on Margo the corgi with the sticky icky poo problem.
Oh boy.
I made sure to schedule her on my time.
Let's do a little review over what happened.
To do a review, Margo the fat Welsh corgi, who's lovely and has the best disposition, has a problem with poop sticking on her rear end, pieces of poop sticking on her rear end. Her owner has a disabled hand. He can pick her up, but he can't do much picking of the poop. Oh, poor guy. Yeah,
I know we shouldn't laugh at him, but you know,
he doesn't even try.
Right. I got that feeling.
The first time she came in, I didn't quite get how bad it was, and I just did a nice shapely kind of scissor trim of the butt and rounded it, and I just did it for my aesthetics. I thought it was good, but it turned out wasn't good enough. She had poop sticking just a couple days later, and he let me know. And so then the next time he came in, I did a more of a baboon butt kind of a clip, and I just went for it, and he was very happy. Third time she came in, she had to come in on Dave's watch because his other dog, the Rottweiler, needed grooming. That, and the way the schedule worked out, had to be on a day when Dave was there alone. So Dave did her, and I told him he had to go for the gold on the back end. He thought he had, but nope. Got the text. The guy was unhappy with the back end. He wasn't even happy with the front end.
Oh wow, I didn't know about the front end.
Oh yeah, he said that he wasn't even sure the dogs had been bathed. It went into the toilet. And this is what happens. Sometimes when one thing is wrong, they see a lot of other things wrong that they would not have seen if the butt had been done right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep. You're looking for something to find.
And I got like a scathing, unhappy customer text about it. And I had to engage my masterful customer relations skills, calm him down. I offered a next day fix up free appointment, which he agreed to and then canceled because he realized it was a Saturday and he had a life.
In other words, it wasn't that bad.
In other words, it wasn't that bad. This time I scheduled Margo for with me and I went for the gold. I used the 40 blade setting.
Oh, you did?
I did, carefully around the rectum. I made sure there were no little hairs around her rectum that could start catching the food. And I took it up high because part of the problem is that her rectum and her tail set are at odds with each other. And so
it's a little anatomical. Also,
yeah, it's anatomy. She's got a little Adam anatomy problem going there, but I just really took it up high. I took it very close, and then I also used snap-on combs on the rear furnishings, the other beige part, and took that down real tight. And he was very happy. Oh, and then I put Cowboy Magic detangling gel.
Crap.
In the area there. So, and I had given him Cowboy Magic when he brought the dogs in that Dave did it. And I had gone to the shop on Dave's day to greet him and to, you know, how much I trusted Dave. And Dave thinks that he was unhappy because Dave's gay. You know, and some men, have a problem with that.
Yeah, it makes them feel funny. Uh-oh.
I had a good friend who was gay. That's all you need.
Yep.
Is to have a good friend who's gay, and it changes your whole perception of gayness, you know, anyway.
It's true.
And so, you know, like, so I mean, Dave's going to have to do the Rottweiler. So speaking of the Rottweiler, what the guy did when he came to pick up Margo, he brings his Rottweiler and he turns her loose in the front.
Oh, that's not good.
Bring her in on a leash. Like, what the fuck? He just turns his Rottweiler loose. She pushes through the gate into the grooming area, my grooming area, and I've got Little, the 5-pound Maltese security dog.
Yes.
Who then goes extra crazy because she's scared of him. So she's scared of the big female Rottweiler, even though the Rottie is real friendly and a happy dog. I don't have any problem with the dog, except that he didn't keep her, he didn't have her contained in any way. You don't do that.
Yeah, there could be another customer in the bathroom.
So then what happens is we get the Rottweiler back out front and we bring Margo out and Little goes after Margo. Of course, she's just like all psyched up.
Yeah, when the adrenaline gets going.
She's got to prove she's not afraid because she was afraid of the big dog. So she is extra nasty to the corgi. And the corgi says, I want out of here. And the corgi goes through the gate and then just runs to the, of course, he doesn't have a leash for the corgi either. And she runs to the front door. So he says, why? You know, I said, well, go up and check her butt. So he goes up and checks her butt and comes back and says, it's perfect. But he says, but Barbara, why is she so anxious to get out of here? I had a hard time holding my middle finger steady.
Yeah.
You know, I had to actually hold it in my other hand because my middle finger, it wanted to come up. It wanted to just wave in front of his face. I held it back. And I said, well, I think it has something to do with that the Rottweiler rushed in and scared the shit out of the little dog. And then she became overly yappy at the corgi. And, you know, so I just tossed it back to him.
You didn't mention that the dog should be on a leash. You probably should have.
Probably should have. Yeah, I know. Quick thinking is not exactly my forte at 83. I'm glad to think it all. While I'm formulating a response to one thing, I get hit with another thing, and it's hard shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did it the Angie. I did the asshole on the corgi, the Angie Coates way. I mean, I just really balded that whole area surgically.
Sounds like he was happy with that part, though.
Yeah, and I was very, very careful. Oh, here's the other thing. He said, well, my daughter had an interesting point. And I said, oh, what's that? She said, she asked me what I was feeding. Now, that was the first thing I asked him when he told me he had a poop problem. Months ago, I asked him, what are you feeding? And he said, why? And I said, because sometimes the stickiness of the poo is affected by the diet.
Yes.
But that just went swoosh.
Yeah.
Because that was me being an expert.
He wasn't ready to receive that information.
He wasn't ready to receive that information. But when the daughter brought it up, he received it and he cut out all the supplements. You know, he's overfeeding and over-supplementing that dog. And he said it hadn't been so bad lately.
Well, there we go. That's a good wrap-up to the icky, sticky poo. Does he have another appointment?
Oh, yeah, 6 weeks.
Yep. All right.
She's on the schedule.
Well, we'll see how the diet change helps out, because I bet it'll be a tremendous difference for him. Not to mention you groomed it exactly as it should be for his situation.
Well, I mean, if he wants a bare, naked, exposed ass, I'll do it, you know.
All right, well, let's take a break, and then we're going to take some fun questions off of Facebook that Barbara has no clue about. I haven't given them to her. She didn't have any idea what I'm going to ask, and we're going to just talk like two groomers talking at lunch between work. All right, hang on, guys. Here we go. Did you know that Stazco has come out with a couple of new products? First, there's the Stazco Oatmeal Protein Conditioner. This conditioner provides exceptional body and manageability and super shiny finishes. And it has a wonderful apple scent that I love. Great in the recirculator, too. And they have a new matching protein conditioning spray. Dematting, anti-static conditioning, and finishing all in one. Just like the original Stazco spray, but with that delicious apple fragrance. Look for these new products at trade shows and your favorite distributors like Cascade Grooming Supplies. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. I went on Facebook and asked for some questions from our wonderful listeners because my brain wasn't functioning and I didn't have any ideas for topics this morning, and I didn't even bother to ask Barbara. I just threw it out there. It's time for an Ask Barbara, parentheses, Ask Susie, which really no Ask Susie so much this time, but I'm going to give you my 2 cents anyway.
Susie to Ask Barbara.
Yes, there we go. I'm the intermediary. I like it. So we're going to start off with a question that I'm sure is on everyone's mind at some point in time during their work weeks. And that is from Tracy Murray. And she posts, how do you feel about grooming doodles lately? Are you seeing more or less in your shops? And I can take this one first because I'm not doing hardly any doodles because they are very difficult for me to get dry in my mobile. They're also pretty big, and I'm not doing a lot of big dogs because my shoulders are starting to fall apart and I don't want that to happen. So in a preventative step, I have basically got rid of all my big doodles. I do, however, have a couple small doodles, golden doodles that they were tagged mini golden doodles, and they're of a reasonable weight. They're about 3 feet off the ground, 2 feet off the ground, probably 2 feet off the ground, maybe 50 pounds or less. They're not big dogs. They are manageable in 2 hours. Also, they belong to regular clients that I've had for a long time. So I've kept these dogs. And though they take me a long time to do, I really like their personalities. I think they're nice family dogs. And I imagine they are pretty easy to live with most of the time, with the exception of the shedding thing that happens for some and doesn't happen for others. But they all get told they're shed-free dogs, and it just isn't true. Am I seeing more of them? Well, the neighborhoods I work in are flooded with them. As they walk, the people walk their dogs a lot. They're walking golden doodles and labradoodles and sheep doodles and burn doodles and all kinds of doodles. They're just all over the place. It doesn't seem like there's any let up in sight with the doodle phenomenon. They're not getting more refined, though. They're getting some personality quirks and some bad hair, and, you know, I don't think the selective breeding thing is going very well. That's what's happening here in the Northwest. What's happening down where you are, Barbara, in Tucson?
Oh, we have lots of doodles. I don't groom a lot. Dave grooms them, but I try to be somewhat selective. We took a new sheep-a-doodle for next week, and this is the daughter of a woman whose Scottish Terrier I groom all during the winter. She comes here for the winter, and then she goes to the Poconos or someplace for the summer. And she asked me if I did doodles, and she said her daughter was looking for a new groomer. Daughter called me. Oh, and this one kind of took me back, because when I got the information to make the appointment, her dog's name is the name of my deceased brother.
Oh.
What's your dog's name? Alan. And I just went, oh, that's interesting. So she's been going up to the foothills to get the dog groomed. I had quoted her mom. Her mom asked me how much I would charge. And I said, well, it starts at $100. And mother said, $100? Why, you know, like, why should it be that much more than Hunter, who's $75 and it takes great skill to do them? I said, because they're huge and they have horrible hair and they're difficult to groom and they take a lot longer than Hunter, you know, whose price I might raise now.
That's the bird's mind working right on the spot. You heard it here. I think that Scotty's going up.
When you come back, I need just expect 85. I asked the new owner, I said, why are you changing groomers? And she said, because I've been paying much. And I said, well, like how much? She says, you know, I just get him shaved and I've been paying $200. And I said, yeah, that's kind of a lot.
That does seem like a lot if it's not mobile. Mobile, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's not mobile. So I said, well, we'll start at 100 and see how that goes. Of course, if it's once a year, I can understand, too. I didn't go into a lot of detail. I'll learn, because I will be there when the new dog comes in. I like to do that. When I schedule brand new clients that come in on Dave's day, when I'm usually not there, I go there. It's only 4.5 blocks, so it just makes sense that I get dressed and run over, introduce myself, introduce Dave, and that kind of just makes a transition between talking to the proprietor and having the groomer groom the dogs. You know, it's just a good customer relations to do that. So we'll see. So I'm starting at $100. And Mom showed me pictures. Grandma showed me pictures of the dog. It's really cute. It's really got an expression to die for. Just the cutest face. And so I'm kind of psyched. I'm kind of ready for Dave to groom it.
Another ding. I think that duration of grooming is such an excellent question to ask when you first are trying to decide how much to charge someone. And I'm not saying that you punish people for not coming in more often, but oftentimes the work is much harder if the dog doesn't come in often. The dog's behavior is not as good. The coat isn't in as good a condition. I always chew over whether I'm going to shave it down. If I'm shaving it down, is it much harder to just shave it down 3 times a year or shave it every month? You know, there's not that much difference in that. But if there is behavior problems that have come up or other things like that, I really don't want to misquote people. So if you get an idea of how often they like to have the dogs groomed, you can set the hair length properly for that. You can have the proper charge.
I missed that because she just said I just have them shaved down for summer. But I don't know if that means I shave them down now for all the whole duration of the summer or whether I shave them several times. I'll find out. You're right. You should ask that at
intake.
At intake or before or at phone.
Yep, somewhere before you start setting that length.
Before you quote.
And before you quote. Yeah, definitely.
I can report that I'm working on a new protocol for curly, really curly coats because I've been looking at some studies of curly hair. I don't have studies of dog curly hair, but there has been an interesting study of human curly hair of mixed ethnicity that shows me a diagram of what's happening with the mixture, the combination of the hairs that makes it so difficult to take care of. And that's because the hairs are not in curl alignment. And I'm going to go into that a lot more in my coat damage webinar. But just for a news flash to our terrific fans, I'll tell you that I'm starting to do a condition first. So I'm conditioning the coat first and then bathing it and then conditioning it again. And that seems to help me be able to comb out these coats and better, easier, a whole lot easier, or even clip them down easier. So I'm working on it, I'm doing it, and I'll be reporting more. I'll have more experience with it by the time I do my webinar in June. So stay tuned.
Well, ever since you said condition, wash, condition, my ears shut off, and all I can think of is, oh my God, all that water waste. That's a lot of water for a mobile. Oh, man. But I want to try it. I haven't done that.
There's got to be a way that you could do it.
Can I leave the conditioner in and then wash it with the shampoo right after? Because that would eliminate one of the rinses, one of three rinses.
You might not get as good a cleaning.
That's my point.
But you can try it. But you can try it. Actually, Yvonne did that this week when I tried to get her to do condition, wash, condition. She said, why don't I just dump the conditioner into the shampoo and see what happens? And it was a favorite doodle of all times, Simone, who's very curly, and I was taking her down. I had to. And then she comes in every month, and she got too matted, and it was because the other groomer left her too long. So anyway, I did a wet clip on her and it was really fairly easy. I got a 4 in it and I got a 5 through it. And then I just warned the customer that it was going to be somewhat shaggy and uneven. But you see, that's okay with a doodle. People don't need to have perfectly coiffed hair on a doodle. In fact, sometimes they don't like that. They would rather the dog look a little scruffy. So I knew that she would have a little appearance of a little bit more length on her chicken legs. I went clipped her and left her and didn't go over it again with another blade. I went over the body in some places. If it looked uneven, I went over it, clipped it down with a 5, went over it with a 4.
Well, this brings up a question, Barbara. On a dog that you're taking the majority of the hair off of, why do a condition shampoo condition?
Because I couldn't get through the dry coat.
Okay, I see.
I tried to get through the dry coat with my clipper vac, and I think my Laube clipper is seen better days. Even though I did a whole tune-up a few months ago, it's just not operating well. It's just not cutting well.
So for me, I would have probably just washed it with my favorite Best Shot shampoo, conditioned it with the Best Shot conditioner so that it separated out and fluffed up a little bit, and then just shaved it off. But that's just me.
Well, you see, you know what I did with Gracie Allen, who's the Woodle, Wheaton poodle, who's just like really the size of a miniature poodle. She's adorable, and she's got very curly hair, and she's extremely sensitive. And I have been, admission, scissoring over some matting with her, waiting for warm weather, and then I advised him I might have to take her down. Well, I didn't want to take her down to total skinny legs, and so I conditioned her in the tub, and then I had Dave comb her out gently with the Pinello comb, where not to pull through the coat, but pick through the coat and see if you can't just loosen up everything and break up any larger tangled areas, like on the inside of the front legs and stuff. And then I was able to get a 3 3/4 through her, and she looked pretty good.
Yeah, okay. You know, I'm always trying to save water.
I know, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, the worst things that ever happened to me in my 6 months of hell in Mobile was, it was hell because 3 months of it were in the summer in Tucson, and it would get to be 140 degrees inside my van while I was drying a dog, because we only had heat dryers.
That's
so anyway,
brutal.
Yeah, it was before... It was before high velocity dryers that I did my Mobile effort, and it was terrible. And but the worst thing was when you would run out of water. I was more likely to do that because I was using conditioner. The company didn't even supply it. I was supplying my own conditioner and using it on my dogs. Oh God, it was awful. And then the next person wouldn't. You know, they would go to a different groomer the next time, and they wouldn't. And then it would come back to me. Well, never mind. That's just a rant.
If you guys want to hear about that, you have to go way back to some of our first episodes, which you can do if you want to listen to the first episodes. If you go to the Podomatic link, and you ask it to give you the desktop version of the website as opposed to the mobile version, you will get every episode we've ever posted, in case you want to. I don't know. A lot of episodes. Woo!
Yo, groomers. I want to put you on the ready regarding a forthcoming webinar I'll be doing on my favorite subject, coat damage. It's on June 19th, Monday, in the morning, and it's part of a weekend of education webinars on the subjects of skin and coat with PositiveEd.com. So it's the Skin and Coat Summit, the Coat Damage Webinar at PAWSITIVEED.com. Look for it soon, and let's all get together on the 19th. I'm very excited about this presentation. It changes every time I present it.
Hey, let's take a 90-degree turn and go to a dog that you do want to look, well, dapper and sharp and well-dressed, and that's a miniature schnauzer. Can you give us some tips on setting the skirt, if you call it a skirt, on the side pattern lines, and also how to do those brows?
The first thing is to don't think of it as a skirt.
See, I didn't even want to say skirt.
I know. Underline.
Yeah, underline. Set the pattern.
Pet grooming has made a terrible mistake with miniature schnauzers by creating a pet groom that has a skirt, a skirted type style that is not at all accurate to the breed standard. And it's how puppies are often groomed because they're cute with a little hula skirt. But the adult dogs have really very little hair underneath there. Really very little. And it's angled from the flank to the elbow in a downward angle. And so up at the short end, up at near the flank, it's only like not even an inch.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, not even an inch. And it should not be lower than the longest point in the front. It shouldn't be lower than the elbow.
And you come in tight to the elbow and clean all that stuff out so you've got a space.
Yeah, you do. On almost all of them, you do that. You also do that on Westies and Scotties, which nobody understands. And then when they move, they look like they have a curtain. They're not supposed to do that. When they move, they're supposed to look like they have a muscular front and an equally muscular hip and rear end. And it needs to be distinguished from that skirt.
You want the leg to be set out and move independently from the body.
One of the things that you can do with terriers that kind of help to create that, and it's a good pet move, is to close clip the armpits.
I do that.
Yeah, so that kind of automatically creates a little space in the forechest. The other thing is that you go down the front of the shoulder and the front of the leg, you go down smooth there so you...
No chest, no poofy chest.
No poofy front leg. I mean, it's supposed to be just straight from the neckline all the way to the toe. You know, you're supposed to see that line from the neck all straight down the shoulder and boom, straight to the toe. Look at your pictures and you'll see that. And on your Westies, you'll see that their chest, they have a little bit of chest hair that poofs out, but it's cut in on the sides. It's straight down the shoulders and the legs. So it's not a curtain across the chest.
Again, showing that independent leg.
So when you're clipping the body on the schnauzer, you're actually clipping a little bit under the rib cage. You don't stop at the rib cage. You just kind of go a little bit under so that then you have furnishings that form an under chest, not a skirt. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's hard. It's such a visual thing. I always leave just enough hair underneath the dog to hide a penis if it was there. Just so that's not hanging down below the haircut. Not that that's a big issue, but that's kind of a guide. It's not very much hair under there.
Some dogs have low-hanging fruit. What can I say?
And then on the face, it's the schnauzer face is just a bunch of lines that are parallel to each other. And but most importantly, the brows. I screw the brows up every time. What tool do you use to do the brows? Do you use straight scissors? Do you use curved scissors? Do you use blenders?
Curved scissors. I use thinning shears around the inside corner of the eye and the stop. And then I use curved scissors from the outside corner of the eye, make a little curve, but leave something long there. I have seen people use long shears and do it from the inside corner of one eye to the outside of the other, past the nose like that, but that's pretty tricky. I use the small curves, and I just curve it so that it's a little bit arched there. Ideally, schnauzer eyebrows are left a little bit longer than, say, wire fox terrier, but not as long as Scotty eyebrows, which are left really long. But most pet owners want a shorter eyebrow, but it looks good when it's got an arch to it from the rear corner to the midpoint of the eyebrow.
I've screwed up my brows on plenty of schnauzers so that I go to my blenders and I will go up the side of the face for the outside corner of the eye to get that flush so that I don't have anything overhanging.
Yep,
I do it with my blenders so I don't cut in too much because I've been known to get a little aggressive there. And then also for the stop in the corners of the interior of the eyes, I use my blenders. Then, continuing with my short blenders, I shape the outside of the eyebrow so that I don't screw it up too badly. And then I sharpen it with a tiny curved shear. And that's how I do it. And I do kind of aim my blender to the opposite side of the nose to get the angle of it. But then I put in that nice gentle arch like you're talking about with my little curves. But I'm horrible at them. I don't do a very good job. And I'm grateful that most of my people want to see the eyes, so they don't want a longer brow. They like a shorter brow. I'm good with the shorters. The shorters I do fine with. It's the longer, more breed profile correct eyebrows that I have such a difficult time with. I'm okay with it. I accept it. I do a lot of schnauzers, so I guess people are okay with my short brows. Okay, let's take a break, huh? And then we're going to come back with something that everybody has been waiting for. I know I've been waiting for it, and it's a bird's eye view of Melanie Newman shampoo. So hang tight, everybody, and we'll be right back.
Chris Bear Anthony visiting the groom pod again. Okay. So you know I love my Evolution swivel shears, and you even know that these customizable shears come in non-swivel as well. But did you know that they're the only ones I've been trusting my sharpening with for around 15 years, and that that's how we met? What? You haven't tried their sharpening yet? If so, send in your next batch of sharpening, and you'll get one shear sharpened for free with a $75 order just for telling them where you heard about them. Your shears and blades will thank you.
Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com. Groomers, take your seats. It's time for B-Bird's Classroom. Michael from Cascade Grooming Supply often will come to you for important shampoo ingredients. And in this case, he's asked us to get an impression of the Melanie Newman shampoo, a bird's eye view, if you will. And I think that he might be looking for things to add to his inventory. So keeping that in mind, tell us a little bit about what you've discovered just from looking at their website, their ingredients, and their product line.
Well, and I'm going to add that Melanie Newman is hot on the internet right now. I mean, it's just all over the place. Everybody's raving about it. It's actually been in Australia for years, and it's just recently arrived in the U.S., and people are just gaga over it. So I thought, well, I'll take a look. And I want to say that I only had time this morning to look at the lineup of shampoos, not so much the other products. And so I might add to this information in the future. So Melanie Newman is big about all natural, which, as you know, is a red flag for me and some of my more science-minded friends, because we all know that there's not such a thing as an all natural. But what they've done is they have avoided synthetic fragrances. They use only essential oils. They also use plant extracts. So they'll use lavender leaf extract as well as lavender oil in a product. and they use sugar surfactants, dexoglucoside, cocoglucoside. And then the shampoos really all look alike to me, except they have different additives. Well, I don't believe that additives make the shampoo. So let me take a look at some of these ingredients and I'll tell you what they mean. They also do this aloe vera in the water additive marketing tactic.
If you've listened to us for any length of time, you've heard us talk about the aloe vera narrative and how they use it to attract us in, just like the smell of French fries cooking that they put out of the restaurant. I mean, it just draws us in. It's aloe vera. We know that.
The good thing.
Yeah.
So what they do, and I think it was Esprit shampoo also did this. They add their aloe vera to their water, and then it's in the first ingredient. So then it looks like there's more aloe there than if it's in the last five ingredients, right?
Right.
Where it normally would reside. But here's the deal. It could be the same amount of aloe vera, but it's mixed with the water instead of listed alone separately.
Or
we have no idea how much aloe leaf juice is in this tea.
Or that is, it could be powder.
Well, most likely it is. And it's hardly ever fresh aloe juice or fresh aloe leaf extract. Most often it is dried, desiccated, powdered aloe that's then reconstituted in water to make what they call juice. It could be 99.9% water, or it could be 99.9%. Well, it's not going to be 99.9% aloe vera because it's got to have water in there to be juice. And aloe vera, typically, if you were to squeeze the aloe leaf, and I have my own plant, so I can swear by this, it's kind of like snot.
It is slimy.
It's just kind of slimy, sticky, gooey stuff that comes out. It's gelatinous, gelatin, it's jelly, snotty. And you put it on wounds, and it does help. Direct on a wound, it will help it heal. Direct on a sunburn, it will aid in diminishing the sunburn effects. And it's a good thing applied directly. But as Perry Romanowski, who is one of the leading cosmetic chemists in our country, says, there's no scientific evidence that aloe vera in a shampoo as an extract or juice with the water does anything. There's no science to support that it does anything.
Oh, it does. It's like no science to support it, but it's like putting WD-40 on your fish bait. The fish go crazy over it. We go nuts for that stupid aloe vera.
We go nuts for aloe vera because we've just been taught that it's a good thing and that it's good for skin. Where the Melanie Newman is really getting their moisturizing capacity is from glycerin. So here's their, I'm going to give you their base formula. It's on every shampoo. Aloe leaf juice, decoglucoside, cocoglucoside, glycerin, xanthan gum. That's it. Those ingredients, 1, 2, 3, 4, those five ingredients are the lead ingredients of every single shampoo in their line. Unlike, say, Isle of Dogs, who has different surfactants that they use for different coat types and different results, Melanie Newman is just using this same stock recipe for all of her shampoos, and then she adds different leaf extracts, plant extracts, and essential oils. And I'm going to say something about that. The more plant, the more botanical leaf extracts and essential oils you have in a product, the more the likelihood of an allergic reaction somewhere down the line. And the essential oils that she's using have been identified as fragrance allergens.
Tea tree oil gets me. It does something to my respiratory system. I cannot use tea tree shampoos, and I noticed that it was in there. Tea tree and peppermint and eucalyptus are in one of them.
Tea tree has not been officially listed, but these are the essential oils. You know, the European Union list of fragrance allergens is going to go from 26 to over 80, maybe this year. It's already, the information has already been drafted and published. It just hasn't been adjudicated. They just haven't published it as a rule. Their rule being that if one of these allergens is used more than 1/100th of a percent total ingredients in the total amongst the ingredients, or for 1/100th for wash off products and 1/1000 for leave on products. So all the citrus oils are going to be named. Lavender essential oil is going to be named as an oil itself. Not only is the lionel acetate, which is the key component of lavender oil, itself a component and an allergen, the whole oil is going to be named as an allergen. Lang Lang oil is going to be named as a whole oil allergen. Cinnamon leaf oil, all the citrus oils, including bergamot, lemongrass, eucalyptus oils, jasmine, and geranium. And Melanie Newman uses several of those in some of her shampoos. In the Refresh shampoo, she's using citrus reticulata, tangerine peel oil, lemon myrtle oil. Let me tell you something about lemon myrtle oil, Susie. The Essential Oil Safety, second edition, Robert Tizerin and Rodney Young, which is the Bible of essential oil safety, they identify hazards of using lemon myrtle oil. They don't like, these people love essential oils. They don't like to have to raise a hazard warning, but they raise hazards of drug interaction, especially diabetes drugs, tetrodotoxicity, which is interference with fetal development. So the lemon myrtle is not good for anybody that's pregnant. And skin sensitization. Why would you use that, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. The list of essential oils and botanicals in just one shampoo is extensive. And if they've got that much in there, do they have anything in there that's actually in it as a therapeutic amount, or is it all fairy dust?
Well, we don't have any way of knowing.
Okay.
But I'm going to say that it's not likely to be a great amount of essential oils, because essential oils fuck with the formula. They make it harder to stabilize the product. And another criticism that I have of these Melanie Newman lists is that on none of their lists is there a preservative.
I was going to ask. See, I didn't see one.
Yeah, it's not there. There's no preservative on any of their lists of shampoo ingredients. And it could just be that they don't want to get into the controversy. And there's no preservative that's controversy-free.
Right.
You know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And it's just like almost anything has a drawback because, technically speaking, preservatives are biocidal. They kill life. That's their job. But here's my point. They're not listing their preservative. Is there anything else they might be not listing? I'm not saying that they're hiding other ingredients. I'm just saying it raises suspicion. When you're not totally transparent, there's always a question of what else is missing. I see glycerin, it's a moisturizer. I see xanthan gum, it's a thickener.
There has to be a preservative because that's a lot of botanical and essential oil stuff.
Botanical ingredients need more preservative than totally synthetic ingredients. And I'm going to say something about synthetic fragrances versus natural fragrances. Synthetic fragrances are often using natural fragrance components. In other words, I'm going to say there's not as big a difference between synthetic fragrances and natural fragrances as you might think. How about them apples?
I'll ding that.
I just worry. I used to be such a proponent of essential oil use. I used to be an aromatherapist. I designed aromatherapy products. I lived by that, and I loved it. And there's a place for aromatherapy, but I'm not sure it's your dog shampoo. I'm not sure that you want this many essential oils that have been identified as being, as having contact allergy potential. It's one thing if you have one, but if you have three or four or five, it's questionable as to whether that's really going to be safe for all that. Something's going to happen somewhere down the line. I just don't like it.
Let's speculate on how it's going to work in a recirculator, because I use a recirculator, you use a recirculator, a lot of our listeners do. We're big proponents on that. Bathing beauties.
Well, I see no instructions about dilution. So that leads me to believe that not only is this line ultra expensive, you have to pay for shipping from Australia, for heaven's sakes. This line comes from all the way around the globe in Australia, and shipping to and from Australia is astronomical. So you're paying for shipping, and there's no mention of dilution factor. So I think that you're supposed to use it neat, concentrated right from the bottle. They don't give any instructions for use, but I'm going to speculate that it's not going to work very well in a recirculating system, because when we use a recirculator, we dilute a great deal, like 250 to 1, 250 parts water to one part of shampoo. I don't think fecal glucoside, cocoa glucoside, glycerin and xanthan gum with some aloe juice is going to cut it. It's not science. I haven't tried the product.
This is just impressions from the bottle. This is not, either one of us have actually physically had our hands on this product. So keep that in mind.
And people are loving it.
Yep.
People are loving Melanie Newman's. We're just like terriers after squirrels. I am going to try to do some kind of a comparison between the Melanie Newman products and the Botanica.
Okay, they look kind of similar in some ways. Botanica sure uses some interesting ingredients.
They use interesting ingredients, and I can tell that their formulator is a real herbalist. I'm not so sure that this formulator is a real herbalist.
Susie, the more I look at the Melanie Newman lists on their Australian website, the greater my disappointment in their ingredient statements. There's just important things missing. Not only are they not identifying a preservative, they're not even saying and preservative. Just anything that might make their ingredient list look less natural is simply not there. There's no solubilizer mentioned for the essential oils. It's critical to having essential oils in a shampoo. You can't just drop them into the mixture and mix it in evenly. You have to pre-dissolve essential oils in something like polysorbate 20 or polysorbate 80, and then put the solubilized mixture into the main body of the shampoo, or they're just going to float to the top. So they're not saying that. Also, only one shampoo lists tocopherol acetate, which is a antioxidant to keep the oils in the product from going rancid and oxidizing and becoming mean sensitizers. So there's just stuff that's less natural that's missing from these ingredient statements, and it angers me. It really pisses me off. Okay, that's it.
All right. Well, I think that was exciting. This was a great show, and we still have a couple more questions we can use next week if we'd like. Oh, no, next week you're going to be...
I'm going to be gone because we have the Tucson Groomers Mixer with the Arizona Professional Groomers Association.
Cool. And so there will maybe be a short live by me. There may not be anything. You may get a remix show, or I just may be late on the show that's going to post this week. We just don't know. That's the excitement of the Groom Pod. We never know what's going to happen.
I can't promise to get a lot of video because I'm kind of going to be in demand to be answering questions and talking to people and that kind of thing. So I'm not too sure how much content I'm going to get.
Thank right. You. Thank you for being here. We hope you learned something from this wonderful hour and a few minutes that we put together. And we hope you will join us again next time on the Groom Pod.
Yeah, and if you have happy news about the Melanie Newman shampoos, I'd like to hear it. So don't be intimidated by Big Bird here. Just tell me what you think.
Feel free to share it on our Groom Pod Facebook group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod. And happy grooming, everyone. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Take care of yourselves. We love you.